Bandwidth for February has been provided by CacheFly, the fastest, most reliable CDN in the business. CacheFly delivers all of our content here at 5x5, and they are the best. Check them out at cachefly.com, CacheFly, and let them know that you heard about them here on 5x5. I'm recording.
I'm also recording.
Oh, you said it at the same time. Well, here we go. 3, 2, 1. We recorded this episode on January 27th, 2016. This week, Andy has some pretty controversial things to say about logos. Guess you're going to have to keep listening to find out what they are. Here we go. Welcome back, Dan.
Hi, hello.
Last week, Andy and I stared each other in the eyes and we talked for an hour.
Oh, very creepy. That was very romantic, wasn't it?
I'm not sure I'm going to be able to make the show without that sexual tension now, Matt. I've gotten used to it. It's very familiar and comfortable to me.
For Andy, it was sexual tension. For me, it was a reminder that he's in person, so if I make fun of him too much, he can take action.
Oh.
We had different experiences.
Yeah, you say it's different, but I don't trust you.
How are you, Dan?
Oh, I'm not too bad. Don't really have anything exciting, so yeah.
Well, Dan sat in a dark room for 2 weeks. Welcome back, Dan.
Hi.
Andy, how was your week?
You know, snow. We didn't even mention the snow.
Oh, I forgot to mention, we just planned around it. I was out on a team retreat for the whole week. I was in Colorado. It was great. But then I couldn't get home.
Tell me, how much snow is in Colorado?
Not nearly as much as in Philly. Not even close.
It's the opposite of what you expect. That's why it's funny.
Yep. We went to the mountains one day, so that had a lot of snow, but otherwise, not that much snow.
And now there's snow here.
Mm-hmm. I got all my flights canceled about a billion times, but eventually I made it back.
Did you have to sleep in the airport, or how did that work out?
No, I just didn't go to the airport until I trusted it, which was the smart thing to do.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Matt would just like to announce he did it correctly, and he made the correct decisions and did everything right.
Yep, per usual.
As always.
Flawless victory.
Matt, will you write a book, please, on how to travel? You should write a travel tips book.
Or just do everything right. I mean, it could be long or short. Depends.
Oh, man. I mean, it's probably going to have to be a pretty long book. Yeah. It is about doing everything right.
Or it could be just short, and it's just one page after another saying, well, just do it right next time.
It could just be a picture of me and just pointing, do it like this guy.
Yeah.
What would this guy do is the title of the book, and it's got a big picture of your face on the cover. That's some groundbreaking book cover design I just did right there.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Here's where I'm at in my life. My excitement is that I got the outlet covers I ordered on the internet delivered. So now outlet covers are happening in my house.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are babies or like small pets wandering in your house?
No, like the plate that goes around the outlet.
Yep.
Yeah, what happened in my house is what happened in everybody's house, is that at some point somebody was like, I'd like to paint this house, but you know what I don't want to do? Take the outlet covers off. So instead, yeah. I would just roll right over those and the outlets themselves and the light switches and just paint over everything. So they were all terrible and ruined. A lot of them were cracked and a couple were missing. So what I did is, you know, almost over a year ago when I moved into my house, I took them off within the first week and I said, this will be a good first project. I'll get this done real quick. This will be something I can do to show some progress, you know, feel good about making some improvement to the house right away. And 12 months later, I ordered some outlet covers that I could compare. And I didn't order outlet covers just outright because I fell into a very deep hole over the weekend of researching outlet covers on the internet. And I discovered this is not a thing that I think most people expect their customers to go and research about on the internet, because there's very little information about outlet covers. You go to an outlet cover website and it's like, here, they're white. They're this big. Do you want them or not? And it's like, I have questions.
I was going to ask, did you get the white kind or the white kind?
I got the white kind, but there was a couple of different. So I ordered samples from 3 different outlet cover manufacturers.
Oh, well, thank God.
Yeah, and they're not really samples. I just bought one of each from 3 of them, basically. It's not actually a sample, because that's not a thing anyone does. Oh, but the problem is, like, all the pictures on the website, like, you cannot tell any, there's no distinguishing features. The pictures are all low resolution and straight on, and it's just like, outlet cover, covers outlets, which I guess is probably what most people want, but not me. So I knew I didn't want plastic, obviously. So,
well, how are they as utensils?
Didn't want plastic. So I did a little research and I found that I could buy them in stamped steel, which is the normal kind of steel outlet covers and light switch plates you may have seen. Mm-hmm. And then I discovered you could buy them in forged steel, which was more expensive and therefore probably better according to economics. And also, I could buy them in ceramic. I found places that sell ceramic or porcelain, different covers and plates. Sort of a couple of each. And they're coming to me now. I got two of them already. Of the two I got, I can say that the ceramic is way better than the stamped steel.
Why is that?
Well, so the stamped steel looks a little cheap. The way that it's kind of punched out, the corners are very pointy, which doesn't look quite right. And it's also got a pretty shiny finish. Like, it casts a glare, and it's kind of a sheen on it that doesn't look natural, really, with the matte finish walls. And then they're not quite perfectly flat. Like, the edges stick out a little bit. They're a little bit higher. So when you, like, tighten it to the wall, it either has a little gap in the middle of all the sides, or you can tighten it down, like, extra hard, and then there's this kind of, like, W shape that forms. So there's, like, two little gaps on either side of the center. So the corners are touching and the center is touching, but the sort of space in between is not. You can't have that either. So far, I like the ceramic ones, but we're going to see what happens.
So I think Andy's book would be Things I Didn't Know a Person Could Care About, The Life Story of Andy Mangold. And it should just be an encyclopedia of all the stuff that you researched that no one would ever have thought that you could have researched. And actually, I would just go through it just to pick the same thing that you picked. I'm just going to pick the wall cover or the outlet coverings that you picked, because why should any human have to go through it again?
Yeah, somebody already did the homework.
I appreciate that. That's my life's goal, Matt. I appreciate you saying that. It means a lot.
Mm-hmm. I think that was sincere.
It was. It totally was. And there's a nice feel to the ceramic. You can imagine if you're searching around a wall trying to find a light switch in the dark, you would be pleased by the touch of ceramic on your fingertips.
Well, this is a book or a website, so if you want to take advantage, I will gift you the title, and I will visit it every time I have to buy a thing on Amazon.
The other thing that is a problem is I got to figure out the finish of the screws that they're attached with now, because I don't have anything that's nickel finish anywhere in my house. There's a lot of, like, old cast iron stuff that's, like, oil rubbed, kind of a black finish, and there's some things that are brass. I'm probably going to go with brass finishing screws, but that could be a little flashy, you know? Brass finishing screws in your ceramic light switch plates.
Yeah. I can think of many house parties I've gone to where I walk in, I think everything's fine. The people are very nice.
But then you look a little closer.
Yeah, the food is good. The drinks are good. And then you notice the screws holding in the outlet covers, and you go, we got to get out of here. These people are flashy.
Monsters.
And gross.
Such show-offs.
Hideous. I don't appreciate it.
They spent the extra cent per dozen on the brass screws to attach their outlet covers.
You can't trust those people. I call those people the 1%.
This is my life, man. Just trying to do everything right. And boy, oh boy, houses are just a sea of things that everyone else before you did not do right.
Boom! That happened.
So I said a thing this week while on a call with a potential client that I've said enough times now that either I'm doing something wrong, or something is changing fundamentally, and no one cares to listen to a podcast where we wonder if maybe I'm doing something wrong, so instead, I'm going to make a dramatic statement. That's okay. How you set the tone for an interesting podcast where people disagree in this lively debate.
Oh, I do hope you submit this to many websites with this title.
So many websites. And the thing I'm going to say is that I think that many facets of branding and a visual identity, specifically the idea of a logo, is like a 20th century idea that is not long for this world. Is that controversial?
Not to me.
It's not
but
to you.
Maybe to the rest of the world.
I was hoping maybe to you it would be, Matt.
I've found myself in that position a little bit more often recently.
It's because your job changed, because you're no longer working at a prestigious graphic design studio and you're now working for people that are doing technology things.
How did you know?
Because here's the conversation that maybe you've had before, Matt. If you haven't, you'll probably have it a bunch. It is, hello, we would like to build this web app or this mobile app, and we have a budget for it because we got investment, or we're bootstrapping it, or we're maybe a for-profit company. We've got some cash, and we really like to build this thing. We also needed to have an icon, right? We needed to have a logo, but we don't have a budget for that. Can you just do something that works? And to that, I have to say, like, yes, sure, we'll pick a nice typeface or whatever, or we'll do something that is, like, totally blatant and boring and kind of obvious, or something like dead simple, and we'll put something up there that, you know, whatever, makes sense. It looks professional at least, right? Yeah. Like this particular client happened this week that came to us, and they've been doing everything themselves up to this point, which means that the logo they have is something they paid a dollar for on some, you know, design website. And they know, they're like, yeah, this is bad, we know, but we needed something to put on the PowerPoint. And so we did this and we need to replace it, but we don't have a budget for that. It's not really important. And I have to agree with them, right? Like, first of all, it is not important. Like, for what they're doing, they're trying to convince, you know, investors to invest in their idea. They're trying to convince potential customers that they have lined up that this thing is going to solve their problem and it's going to work the way they want it to work. And mm-hmm. none of that, no one in that chain of things cares about a logo, right?
At that point, probably no.
Now, would some designer out there that apparently is not one of the three of us make the argument that those people would care about a logo and that some subtle message would be being sent to them about the authenticity and the reliability and the trustworthiness of this prototype of this brand new idea?
Dan, are you going to take that position?
No. Like, I really don't think that it matters really at all at that point. And really, even down the road, it doesn't really matter.
I could see the argument that, well, if we're going to do it right, we better do it from the start, and then we don't have to change anything. It's consistent. You do it over a period of time.
Yeah, unless the product doesn't work and they have to either adjust it or do something completely different and keep the name or whatever. Like, to do something early stage is basically Russian roulette, or whether or not it's actually going to be relevant in 6 months.
Because I was going to say, I think they probably would mostly get mad when they're like, hey, well, we had a certain amount of money. We've spent 10 to 20% of it on the logo, and the product isn't built yet. And then I might be like, you're bad at money.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to give you more of it.
Yep.
So that's probably why my opinion has changed a little bit over time.
So none of us are the designer that's going to claim that, but you see some advantage to the being consistent from the beginning and, you know, whatever.
Well, here, I'll make the argument that, like, if you had all the money in the world and everything were perfect, I think it's not a bad idea to start with some the best thing you can make and be as consistent as possible over time. And that's also assuming you have a great idea that's not going to change. I think if everything, like, it is kind of like the in the perfect world, that seems like a good idea.
Well, but it's also, I mean, it's tough too, because you can see examples like Evernote. They've pretty much had the same logo since the App Store came out, and it hasn't changed, and they've been successful ever since. So it's like, it's weird because that's an example where, like, nothing changed and they kind of just, like, shot from the hip at the beginning, and that's where they're still at. But then you can see other stuff, like even like Twitter, where they're successful, but their branding has gone through multiple iterations.
Well, kind of. I mean, they did the big redrawing of the blue bird, but, you know, it didn't change so dramatically.
Oh, sure.
So, yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of a cheap shot to talk about which I brought them up, so, you know, not accusing either of you, but talking about, like, the very early stage companies, right, the ones that are just starting, they're trying to build a prototype or whatever, like, yes, clearly there's not the budget for that there. There, frankly, isn't the budget for a lot of things you'd love to be able to be doing. Mm-hmm. But I would argue even, like, sure, companies like Twitter that have tons of designers around and companies like Facebook, they certainly spend a lot of time working on this because they have people learn to do it. They have the luxury of being able to do it. But I would argue that it is completely irrelevant, not just to, like, practical, like, concerns about business and about, you know, the efficiency of the product and how it works or whatever. But also, I don't even think it has the emotional or, you know, whatever other kind of effect that branding and visual identities and logos made a lot of sense for 20th century companies. I don't think even that sort of hard to measure effect is even taking place.
So here, clarify what you mean by that, because I think I know where you're going with it, but I'd like to see your comparison between what you thought was happening and what you think is going to happen. Like, well, I still do like those projects. I like taking them on, and I don't think...
Sure, I also like to do that.
Yeah, but I don't fully think it's a waste of time. I think there are certain situations where it's not the best use of money or time, but I'll play the role in somewhat. Like, I won't concede the entire idea of a logo. So give me your take on what's different now and then, and I think I got an answer for you.
Well, so, and Matt, maybe you have a different perspective on this, because I know that you also spent a lot of time thinking about this and working specifically on big branding projects and big identity mm-hmm. projects. The reason I say that a logo specifically is a 20th century idea is because they really came to exist in the 20th century, right? Before the 20th century, we had very little you could even kind of describe as a logo, right? Maybe you had like a seal for some organizations of certain types, or maybe you had a signature, like a literal human signature, that you would use if you ran a certain type of business. But the idea of, like, corporate branding was not a thing. And what we saw in the 20th century was this kind of big, steep increase in the size of the biggest companies, right? All sorts of things happened with industry and with technology that allowed bigger companies to exist where before it wasn't practical to have big companies. You know, we saw the building of the interstate highway system. We saw the invention of the car. We saw all these things that meant, okay, now we can ship things all over the world. So we can have one soda company that is going to sell all over the country. That's possible now where it wasn't before. We can achieve scales that were not at all, you know, possible prior to this technology kind of coming into the world. And with that scale, all of a sudden came the problem of identity, right? When everything was small, maybe you were the, you know, the local soda shop and you had like your fountain machines or whatever, and everybody knew that, you know, Joe owned the local soda shop. And so there's no need for a sense of brand or identity beyond what the thing actually is, right? Like the actual, you can even look at early logos, and what they were for the most part was like, you know, little etching of a person's face or little etching of a building where a thing is, because the person's face in that building serve the function that a logo would later serve, right? They are identifier, they are something that is recognizable because these things were limited to a certain scale. With me so far?
Yeah, for the most part.
Yep.
Or your logo is just the same sign that was on the door that became the logo.
Yeah, exactly. So companies get bigger. All of a sudden, we have this sort of scale where that kind of personal identity is not possible, right? No longer can you say one building represents the Coca-Cola company or one person's face, because it doesn't. There are hundreds of Coca-Cola buildings and there are tens of thousands of people that are vending and selling Coca-Cola to customers. And so now we have this problem where we have this thing that we want people to recognize as they go from place to place, and we want them to build a relationship with, but there's nothing there for them to actually form. Like, there's nothing, like, Coke is not a thing. It's a product, sure, but there's not a place you go to get it that's consistent. There's not even a price that's consistent about it. There's maybe a package that's somewhat consistent, but at this time, honestly, maybe not even that. So the idea that you were kind of having this relationship with a product or a company needed to exist because the idea of like a visual identity came about because people needed to have this relationship with a company that was bigger than a personal relationship was otherwise possible with. So all of a sudden, we're like, okay, now we need to figure out this new language for how we're going to describe and identify big companies with lots of tendrils and branches, right? Like if you are at the store and you see the Coca-Cola bottle, or you see the cooler the Coca-Cola is stored in, or you see the sign in the window that tells you Coca-Cola is inside, or you see the truck on the highway that's driving the Coca-Cola from place to place, or you drive past the warehouse where they store it and make it, or you drive past the factory, all of these things, you know, you see an advertisement, all of this stuff we need to sort of tie together in some way. And, you know, that's not just kind of the birth of branding and visual identity, but in a lot of ways, a big part of what graphic design is and how it came to be a thing. And we kind of figured out that, all right, if we're going across all of these different pieces, all these, you know, far-flung arms of this company or this that we have to brand, we should be simple, we should be consistent, we should be bold and sort of unique. And we kind of built this language around what a logo is, right? Like what a fairly successful logo constitutes. And, you know, that was limited in some ways by, you know, manufacturing methods, right? Like it's got to be simple and work in black and white because you can't use color on whatever thing because it's going to be on all these other places. So the simplicity came out of that. The idea of a single mark came out of that. The whole idea of a logo is related to that thing. Now, fast forward post World Wide Web, especially in the world of like Facebook or Twitter, where like there are no far-flung branches of Facebook and Twitter, really. Like you go to Facebook and you go to Twitter, and sure, there's lots of things inside of that umbrella, but you're going to one place to get that experience, right? You're going to the one thing. And sure, maybe if you live in San Francisco, you see a Facebook t-shirt, which frankly only exists because we're so used to having logos and putting them on t-shirts that it seems to make sense, but really it doesn't actually. So we're kind of taking this idea and we're applying it to a thing that actually doesn't need it at all. Like we don't need a simple visual identifier for something like Facebook or Twitter any more than it was needed for that small soda shop, really. And Facebook and Twitter are maybe two of the examples where you could say there's some reason you might want something because they also have
I was going to counter with Facebook and Twitter seem like the two worst examples you could have used. Given all the internet products.
Well, hit me.
Well, because they actually do have an existence outside of their own website in like and follow and tweet buttons, that exist on many, many other websites that I would argue it's pretty valuable that there's such a thing as a like button.
But the perfect example, the like button does not have the Facebook logo on it.
It has the Facebook blue, and it's got the thumb that might as well be their logo, right?
Yeah, well, that's my point, though. It doesn't have to be their logo, because you'll recognize aspects of a familiar property outside of that property without having to have a logo.
So you're just talking about the very specifics of a single individual mark, not the idea of, like, an identity system. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think the identity
that might just be semantics.
Well, no, I think an identity system and a interface are now completely synonymous, is all I'm saying. Like, if you design an interface and people use it, poof, you made an identity system. You don't have to think about any identity system things. None of the rules about identity system necessarily apply.
About it a little bit. Like, let's say you just roll out Twitter Bootstrap on everything. Well, now you put your button somewhere else, and you're like, oh, yeah, it's just another button out in the world. You have to think about it a little bit, even if it's just picking a different color or something. It's not thought at all.
What do you mean picking a different color? Like, this is just the Facebook blue. It's the same blue every other company in the whole world uses. It's just blue is blue is blue.
So now go start a Facebook competitor and make everything that exact same Facebook blue and then roll it out. You're going to have a problem. Everybody's going to think you're Facebook, right? There's some thought to go into it.
Well, but... I don't think I really buy that that's the same kind of thing, though.
Why?
I mean, how many people do you think... Well, I guess this is... I don't know how I'd answer this question if I was asking it myself. Like, the Facebook blue and the Twitter blue, you and I could describe... the three of us could describe the actual difference in the color and how it's processed or whatever. Other people probably have some recognition of it, but people get it wrong all the time. Here's a better example. Twitter and Tumblr blues. Can you picture them both in your head?
Yeah.
Yep.
They even have the same T icon. Or at least Twitter used to use a T, and they got rid of the T because Tumblr was also using the T, so now they use the bird. Yep. But some websites still have both. That's an example where I don't think that hurt either of them at all, that there is tons of ambiguity for a long time. I think it still is, honestly. I don't think most people can detect any difference in those two blues.
I don't know that that's totally correct. Also, they don't do the same thing. So, like, I would argue that this, the thing we're arguing, like, this should be, you know, talking about competitors.
And Twitter are competitors?
No.
In some ways, but not in the way you're talking about, where you click the button to do the exact same thing, right?
You click the button to post on Twitter, you click the button to post on Tumblr.
Yeah, but they're different. They're kind of different things. Like
we are really splitting hairs if you're going to call them different. I mean, can you explain to your mom why they're different?
My mom's a smart lady, but maybe you're talking about other people's moms.
No, I mean, like, to somebody who doesn't work in this industry, like, what is the practical difference?
So I think like Coke and Pepsi are a good example, because if you took them out of their cans, they're almost literally the same thing. I don't think people could tell the difference, even the people that say they can. I don't want to split hairs too much, because I think Twitter and Tumblr, yes, they're similar, but I think people could actually tell the difference between them if they didn't have a logo on them, is maybe my only point.
Well, are there any websites that are so indistinguishable that you would say they're just as similar as Coke and Pepsi, for example?
Oh, you could definitely say that for, like, news websites, because most of them have generally the exact same format.
Sure. Washington Post and Boston Globe or something. Like, if you didn't have a logo on the top, I probably wouldn't be able to tell the source.
And is that a scenario where you think that the typical ideas of branding are still important?
Yeah, probably. I think that's a huge one. Even as simple as, like, is this a parody site? Yeah, I actually think that matters a lot.
Oh, yeah, that's a great point.
What if it had an Onion logo on the top versus a Washington Post logo? It means a lot.
That's an interesting idea. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe I'll just keep swinging for the fences and say that news websites are also 20th century. they're also doomed. Yeah. No one's going to find their news that way. Well, Matt, I'm so glad that you finally agree with me that there's no need to have a logo if you're starting a new thing in the 21st century.
Do people know that we record this at the end and then we move it in the middle? So you're assuming that they know that and we move it in the middle and you're predicting the end?
Yes, you totally agree. I'm honored that you feel that my opinion and my case was so strongly made. But you know what, Matt? Even though people don't need logos for the new companies, they are going to need websites.
Well, Andy, let's say I don't know how to make a website.
Good news. If you were starting a company in the 20th century, you wouldn't be able to get a good logo for cheap. It's just not possible. You had to pay a lot of money for some people to go draw some shapes and tell you why a certain H was better than another H. Luckily, we live in the 21st century, and good websites are cheap from Squarespace.
Oh, I thought of a thing that I can make a website on. It's called Squarespace.
I just said that, Matt. Are you listening to me, or are you just doing your own thing over there?
I stopped listening to you. I don't agree with anything you say. I'm not going to listen to you the rest of the night. But this episode is sponsored by Squarespace. If you want to get a site that looks professionally designed, regardless of skill level, and no coding required, check out squarespace.com for intuitive and easy-to-use tools, And if you sign up for a year, you're going to get a free domain.
And this really is a much better website than a logo you would get for $8 a month would be a logo. Squarespace even has a logo making tool. And we got to admit, their websites are better. We should stay in the website game.
If you need to set up a website, like say a website talking about how Andy is slanderous and doesn't listen to your opinions, and also you don't want to listen to Andy anymore because he's trying to say absurd things in the middle of the episode that you don't agree with, you go to Squarespace, you start your free trial today.
What would the URL for that one be, Matt?
You start your free trial today at squarespace.com, and when you decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure you use the offer code GRID to get 10% off your first purchase and show your support for On the Grid.
Actually, now that I think about it, Squarespace seems to have come independently to the exact same conclusion that I did, which is that everyone needs a good, important website, but the logo doesn't matter, so just let them put a square next to their thing and it's fine.
Maybe you could make me a subdomain. Maybe you could make idisagreewithandyman.gold, and we could point it at the Squarespace site talking about how wrong you are and how you should stop doing this in the ad reads and making me feel bad.
If you make a Squarespace site for that, I solemnly swear here on this audio recorded thing that I will make I disagree with andy.man.gold.
I disagree with andy.man.gold. That's what we'd have to do.
Yeah, because there has to be a subdomain there. So I'll point that there, though. I'll do it. We can link them from that site to our special grid on the grid Squarespace, right? That's the thing we can
do. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to sign up for Squarespace. I'm going to use the offer code GRID. I'm going to create a website called I disagree with andy.man.gold. So thank you to Squarespace for supporting 5x5 and On the Grid. Squarespace, Andy is wrong.
Squarespace, allow your friends to make slanderous websites about you. Something I tell people often when they ask me, and really what they're talking to me for is they want like permission to say they don't care about the logo.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're talking to a designer and they're like, ooh, he's going to be offended. And so they're like, it's really, you know, it's hard to justify the cost and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, what I always tell them is like, yeah, people are going to your website. So we can use the entire website to convince them of who you are and what you stand for and establish some kind of, you know,
yeah, the
language.
Thing I didn't say yet is I thought you picked two really bad examples for internet products, but there are a lot of examples where I think you're correct.
Well,
but
I maintain those are not bad examples, though. Like, I don't think so. The little like bugs, little like kind of buttons existing outside of the site on other people's sites for liking and reposting or retweeting.
Yeah, not
or whatever.
All internet products have those, so there are plenty where it's less important.
But even having those, it's like all that has to do is look vaguely like Facebook, which you accomplish with using the blue, right? Mm-hmm. That's it.
It has to do. But wouldn't it be better if there was some really strong thing attached to it? Like, there's a reason.
No, because if it was really
like
strong, people would
want to
put
Facebook
it on their website. If it like really reeked of Facebook, then I don't think people would stick it on everything. I think it's very important that it basically doesn't exist and it has like the faintest hint of something Facebooky. Because
I don't know, man. Explain Twitter cards then. Like, there's a lot of effort into like heavily branding your content outside of your site. Like, I don't want it to go on my website either, but there's a reason they do it, and there's a reason they enforce it. So, explain that to me.
Well,
like, why a Twitter card?
I need to go look at a Twitter
just
card, because I'm picturing a Twitter card, and I'm not seeing anything heavily Twitter branded at all.
It's pretty much the exact same Twitter interface with, like, all the same styling.
Which is my point, that there is no logo, it's just the interface.
That's barely a point, though. Like, it's
how's that barely a point? Like, everyone still seems to carry on as if logos are a thing, but like the interface is so much more important, and I would say fills in the gap of, and if you were looking at a Twitter card and you don't know what Twitter is, this means nothing to you, right? You're just reading the content. If you've never read a Twitter post, right? This is just completely, it doesn't even say Twitter on anywhere. I'm looking at a couple right now, screenshots of them at least.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't even say Twitter anywhere. Presumably you click on it and it links you to Twitter page, but
don't they have the little Twitter follow button? Again, this is hairs, but I'm pretty sure top right there's like a little Twitter
I'm
icon.
Looking at screenshots. Some of them seem to have it, some of them don't. I'm guessing if you're logged in with Twitter, it probably gives you the follow button, and if you're not, it probably does not. Because what would it do if you weren't logged in?
I just think if you're reading that content and you've never heard of Twitter before, isn't this a bigger problem for you? Aren't you like, I don't understand, why is that broken out? It's not a quote. What is it? It's
it
a something?
Looks like a quote. It just looks like a quote.
A weirdly styled quote with a heart button and a retweet button. Sorry, I don't understand what that means. It's a thing that points to another thing in a circle, in a square. Okay. I just think I kind of understand your point, but like, aren't you just saying one thing is another thing now? You're like, it's not a logo, it's an interface. Like, yeah, the same purpose, though. It's just yeah, picking a visual style and applying it to a thing.
But you say it like it's not, like it doesn't mean anything to say that. I think it's a very important distinction.
Is your argument purely just that, like, you can't distill it down to a single mark anymore, but it's just like a combination of font and color, and then that's the new logo, that's the new branding or visual identity?
Well, I think almost none of the things that we came up with, we collectively, designers, yep, came up with as the rules for making a good logo or the rules for making a strong visual identity, mm-hmm, apply at all in this situation. So it's not just a matter of like, interfaces of the new logos, which, mm-hmm, is a way you could snippet this and summarize it poorly.
Yep.
But it's a matter of people thinking all the things are, a perfect example is like, so many people are like, here's our logo. We had it, you know, hand lettered so that it's perfect and unique and special and this modified font or whatever. So now we have to stick it on every single website, either as an image or as an SVG or something that a browser can't read. And you can't highlight and copy. Sure, you can get away with that. I don't see why that's a huge problem. But all the work you did to put into that, like, no one cares. It gives you no benefit at all whatsoever if you are a company that exists entirely online, or at least even, mm-hmm, largely online.
I mean, I think you're just talking about technical limitations. If those things were all possible, people would be doing them, and it actually might prove, it might just be marching down the exact same path, right?
No, but it's barely, I don't think we would be marching down the same path, because I don't think there's any justifiable reason why you should spend the time doing that, other than it looks pretty, which is the worst reason to do anything.
I think it's not that it looks pretty. I think that it looks like your thing.
But I think your thing is, you no longer need something that fits in a postage stamp that is clearly your thing. You just don't need that anymore, because no one's ever looking at your postage stamp thing on 50 different applications in different contexts. They're just looking at your
postage size stamp next to 50 different applications on a home screen. Or something.
Well, I mean, I think app icon design is a perfect example of this, right? Like, do you think the rules of logo design apply to app icon design?
To a degree, not exactly, because it's a different medium, but there's a lot of similar traits.
I mean, it's not a logo because of a million reasons, but the biggest thing is, like, it's not going to ever be that different because it's exactly the same shape and size and treatment as everything else by definition. Mm-hmm. Like, it can't be different in so many ways because it has to be the same. I spent a weird amount of time thinking about this. I feel like app icons just truly basically don't matter, like, really at all. I can't think of a legitimate justification where I could be like, dear client, your app icon should look like this instead of this because of here's a great practical reason. Unless, you know, one of them is like a swastika or something. But, you know, if you talk about something that's got roughly the same colors as the app, it's got either, I don't know, some icon that appears in the app, or it's got the letter that the app name begins with. Like, all of this just is all, it doesn't matter. It's completely arbitrary.
I think it's just about tying systems together, though. If you have an app in multiple stores, or and you also have a website and you also have many things, I think it's the same principle. It's tying many things together using a mark. And I agree. It barely matters what it is, except that it has to fall within, I mean, it does have to kind of work in certain situations. If it's going to be the Twitter logo and it's got to be on that little follow button, the follow button's generally like 16 pixels tall, you don't get a lot of detail out of that. That's not that dissimilar from an app icon. So, like, it is a symbol tying a couple things into the same system. So it does kind of matter.
But I don't think, like, I truly think it can basically be anything. Like, not anything can be a logo, right? You would not say that. Like, I think you could say, here's our app, a brand new app, and the icon, mm-hmm, is just pure cyan. Fine. Works great. Use pure cyan across all the platforms. A+. Totally fine. I truly see basically no problem with that.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think it's actually interesting. I would guess that a big part of why the apps work the way they do and icons are the size they are and the iPhone is navigated by those things, I think it's a factor of a lot of different things coming together. But I think a big part of it is that they made that interface assuming that everything would have a logo, right? Because things have logos. It was, you know, 2007 or whatever. So they were like, okay, everything's have a logo. They'll stick it on their little button here. They can click it. But, like, how many apps actually have logos? They don't. Their icon is just a thing.
Well,
they kind of picked and pulled together.
Well, now you're just breaking apart what a logo is. Like, well, it's not a logo. It's the letter Q. So it's not a logo because it's the letter Q in a font that they didn't really think about. So therefore, it's not a logo.
If it appears literally nowhere else, can you make the justification that it's a logo?
Yeah. I mean,
how?
Because what about the future? I mean, it's just like, okay, that thing gets really huge. Now where does it go? Well, now it's on the many different products that they made. Okay, cool. Just because it hasn't reached its potential or something, or it did a bad job, it's a bad version of something, doesn't make it not that thing.
I don't think it's a matter of that, though. It's like the whole point of a logo is to tie together disparate or inconsistent or a broad variety of things. If you just have an icon for your app.
But you're saying is that, like, the Nike logo isn't a logo if it didn't exist in more than one place. It's like, well, it is. It's not serving a purpose yet. But
if a logo falls in the forest and there's only one thing to put it on, does it still count as a logo?
A logo on one thing is still a logo. It just hasn't fulfilled. It hasn't fulfilled its purpose yet. But maybe it'll grow up to be a big logo, a big and strong logo, and it'll do everything it dreamed of.
Yeah, but I mean,
if you design one shoe and you put a swoosh on it, it's a shoe with a swoosh on it. You designed a shoe. You didn't make a logo. It's not a logo until you take it out and you put it on a million other things and you figure out what the limits of it are and how it's used in different contexts.
So you're saying that student should have been paid $20. F her.
I don't care to talk about that in any way.
I know.
I think it's...
But I don't agree with you. I think just because something's potential hasn't been fulfilled, it doesn't change the definition of what it was trying
to
be.
So, you know, here I picked up this this invoice on my thing from the city of Baltimore, and there's a QR code here. This is a great logo. It hasn't realized its potential, though. It's only used here as a QR code.
If I told you that's a logo, now it's a logo, Andy. Sorry.
But I'm saying that's meaningless. You can't just like if we're gonna say that anything can be a logo that just hasn't fulfilled its potential.
But I'm saying the difference
that's a meaningless word. You've killed it.
The difference between what you just said and an app icon is that it is clearly the beginning of that intention.
See,
it is meant as a graphic, an icon, some sort of thing meant to identify a product or app or whatever.
I agree.
There is an intent there.
So here's my counter argument. First of all, I would agree that yes, people do think they're putting a logo on there.
Yep.
They're just not. They haven't realized it yet because it's hard. And also because, again, I think the system is designed to accept logos if they were to exist. It would work great for them, as it does for big companies that do already have established marks.
Yeah.
But app icon is a perfect example of, I don't think a logo is a good analogy for it. I think a better analogy is something like an album cover, for example. Which also has to sell something. It exists in a store next to other things just like it. Mm-hmm. It serves as an identifier after you've already purchased it and you no longer need to be sold to. That is a perfectly acceptable, I think, metaphor that actually makes more sense than a logo in a lot of ways, because it's a fixed aspect ratio. It only appears, you know, right before you experience the thing, as opposed to possibly appearing in some totally random place on the bottom of an invoice or on the side of a truck driving down the road. Mm-hmm. But things aren't... You wouldn't say this is an album art that hasn't sort of realized its potential, right?
No, I don't think so.
Just because it looks like a logo, because people are still using the visual language of logo design on this new thing. Yep. My point is that they're just using it because that's all the people are familiar with, and they feel like it's right, but there is no practical reason why that has to be like a logo.
Well, okay, so first off, I don't think it's necessarily that these things are... Like, app icons are supposed to be logos. Like, that whole perception I don't buy. Especially because, like, you just made the comment, Andy, that there had to be some sort of consideration when they were making the home interface for the iPhone, that these little spaces could contain logos for different things. When they first made the iPhone, it was full of icons of apps that they made. It wasn't for anything else. So I think really the argument is that all those things are containers for icons, just like simple graphic things, not album art, not logos or anything else, just icons, indicators to let you know that this is the difference between a browser and email. And
sure. Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. So like
And the distinction there, I think, is that when the phone first came out, everything on the phone was from Apple.
Yeah.
So you were not navigating different brands or different companies. You were just navigating different functionality that came on your phone.
Yeah. So I think looking at it from that perspective, it's not even like somebody's coming to you asking for a logo. Like, I don't think anybody really thinks of that, unless it was to one of Matt's earlier points where, like, if you had an app that was on the iPhone, on a Mac, on Android, and had a web interface, if it had the same consistent icon or whatever, technically, maybe that's where you could start to consider it a logo, because it's in different locations and it provides some sort of unity to let you know that if you're going to open up Evernote on your phone, it's going to be the same icon on your desktop.
Well, I mean, the way I'm thinking of it is, like, maybe there's many different intentions that can go into making your app icon, but like if the intention is give me a symbol that can represent a bigger idea or bigger company, it's a logo. Give me an icon that can represent a generic concept or a single thing, then it's an icon. It's like on Shark Tank when they say this isn't a product, this isn't a company, this is a product, or vice versa. It's like, how do you define those things? It's a little bit hairy. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But do you think it has the potential to reach something else? Then maybe you need a logo, or maybe that's your thing is going to become a logo. I totally understand what you're saying with the album art thing. It's the same. I mean, the thing I was thinking of when you were talking about this was what book covers are like now that Amazon is around, and you always see the image next to the title of the book. And you're like, well, do we need to put the title of the book on the image anymore? It's just these things are just merging. Like a book cover is becoming a little bit more like an app icon, and an app icon is coming a little bit more like a book cover. And sometimes they represent bigger ideas, and then I would call it a logo. Sometimes it's just a singular thing, and it never comes back again.
Yeah.
And it's a book cover, or whatever you want to call it. It's a future box.
is that what we can call it now? Is future box?
Yeah, future boxes are logos that Andy doesn't like calling logos. They're logos that fell in the forest that no one helped.
I mean, I definitely agree that people are trying to put logos on there. And if you are a pre-existing company that has an established brand or logo, mm-hmm. like, yes, definitely put it on your icon for your app, right?
Yeah.
That's basically where that goes. That's part of the design of that system, I'm pretty sure, is to basically put your logo there. The thing that I think is important to note is that maybe you can explain this to me.
Yeah.
Explain to me some circumstances where somebody would come to you, and let's say they have plenty of money. Like they're not like, you know, scrapping and scraping, but if they've got plenty of money, not infinite, so they don't want to be wasteful. They want to spend all their money as efficiently as possible.
Yeah.
And they're starting any kind of new web, mobile, app, technology company, right? Like there's lots of companies now that are starting that are just basically technology companies. If you're one of these companies, what circumstances would you be able to say, like, yes, we can justify the time and expense that we have previously gone through to do major branding campaigns for big companies like Nike, like Coca-Cola, like, you know, these kind of older world companies, 20th century companies. When can you justify the time and expense of doing that to come up with an app icon or a logo or whatever you want to call it that's going to identify this thing in multiple places?
Well, I think if you can afford the entire process and you can still get your product out in the world, then I think you can justify it.
Well, I mean, all money spent in one place is not spent somewhere else, right? So the thing I'm thinking is I can do both, right? I design visual identity sometimes. I make app icons sometimes. I also design interfaces and improve products. And I think you and I both know, Matt, and Dan, you definitely know this, that a product is never done. You're never like, it's perfect. It's finished. We can put it out in the world now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the only argument I'm making is that if any of the three of us spent an hour trying to make an acceptable app icon for a product, that would be literally just as good as spending weeks and weeks and weeks and a whole team iterating and making different versions of it, because it just simply doesn't matter the same way that a logo used to matter for a company of the 20th century. And that time should instead be spent actually improving the product, which is the thing people are actually going to interact with and remember and experience.
Well, I would just say, If I have the luxury to do that, I'm not just going to say, like, let's spend weeks on a single mark, but I am going to say, let's spend the time up front planning things where we start to plan the mark, maybe we start to plan the name, maybe we start to plan the colors and fonts and things that will be turned into the visual identity later, so that we don't have to just make things on the fly and hope everything fits together. We have a little bit of a plan. And I'm just going to say, this is part of, we're just going to start planning things out. And maybe also, we're talking about system architecture at this time too, or something. Like, let's just have a planning phase where we do this. That's actually what I like to talk about, is let's spend a little time, consider what we're about to do, and take the time to do it, and also discuss, like, plan feedback sessions, review time. Let's do those things, so that when we start building, we really have a solid plan, we hit the ground running, knowing exactly what we want to do. And not to say that things can't change in the future, very possible, that happens all the time, but I don't think it hurts to have a really solid plan up front, and that's when we can fit this time in.
Well, yeah, so the plan is great, and I think most of what you said makes a lot of sense. I don't have that thing where it's like, let's think about the mark. Like, what mark? Why is there a mark? Like, what do we need a mark for? Mm-hmm. I think you think about things like the typefaces you're going to be using, things like the colors you're going to be using, but those two decisions, which are, I think, the most important ones, are directly tied to the actual interface for what you are doing. Right? Like, the reason there are very, very few web companies that have an identity that's red is because red is the color of error and wrong in interfaces. And if your entire product is an interface, it's going to be hard, A, to actually highlight the errors when they happen, or B, to make it look like all the good stuff's not an error if you're using red. So you can't just be like, red looks great. It's different from our, different from our other people in this industry of this market. So we're going to go with a red, because that's actually an interface decision. They're all interface decisions, except for this mark thing you're describing, which again, this is what I'm pushing back on. I don't see any reason to spend time working on a mark ever.
If only YouTube had planned ahead and not made a red mark, they could avoid this problem.
Very few, not none.
I know. I just think it's splitting hairs. Like,
yeah.
Let's pick the font. Like, we could do the same thing with font. Let's not pick the font. Okay, we just save time. Let's just not pick a color. Let's just, like, randomly generate a color. Look at all the time that we saved and all the money. I mean, I think there's certain things that you can do. Like, I would just say, maybe a mark is important, and maybe it's not. We take a moment and we think about it. Oh, we thought about it. It's important or it's not important. I think there are situations where it might be important. If you want to build a big thing, you want to build a Facebook-like thing, maybe it is important to say, let's consider what the thing's going to be that's going to be on everybody's website if this is successful. We can take the time now to do that. I just think it's one extra step beyond the color and the font, and those are all things you could strip away if you really want to.
Yeah, but I think there are ramifications of stripping away not thinking about color, not thinking about typeface, for example. I think you pay for that.
Everything.
I'm saying specifically, you pay for it if you don't think about a mark. Okay. Like, honestly, I think Google and Twitter and Facebook are companies that thought about a mark because they have a ton of designers around and they felt like they should probably assign somebody to do that so they could, you know, feel like they were as established as a company that was, you know, spending that much time on a visual identity as well. But, like, we've talked about Google's homepage. We talked about how their logo has slightly and slowly morphed over the years in the way that I think a lot of people don't even notice and haven't even noticed it changed. I don't think any of this is as important to any of these companies as it would have been for your Nikes, for your Coca-Colas, for your whatever, companies that actually had lots of different things they had to tie together that you could kind of make some argument for. I don't know. And Matt, I think part of the reason you keep saying, like, it doesn't matter, we're splitting hairs, is it's just like we're saying the same thing. We are saying the same thing. I think that there are lots of designers out there that think that logos are critically important. And then if you don't have one, that you absolutely need to do it. So this is probably just a problem of us coming from the same perspective and not being able to actually argue the opposite side of this. Because, like, still, every client comes to me kind of cringing, like, oh, we don't have a budget for a logo. Is that okay? You can be one of these designers that gets mad and tells me I'm doing it wrong. And I'm like, no, you're fine. It's not a problem.
Yeah.
You don't need a logo. Yeah. I say it all the time. You don't need a logo. And I'm a graphic designer. Is there nothing interesting about that? I thought that was the whole point of this, is I say it to people all the time. And that's what I do for a living.
The other thing is that we're framing it in such a specific context of, like, products with not a lot of money yet and how they spend it. I also think there are businesses where it is much more important.
Well, I'm specifically saying that even for the big ones, I don't think it matters. So I'm trying to cover everything in between.
In a specific category, you're still saying it's important for Nike. I would say it's important for companies that their image matters to them, and you know, also like companies like consultancies looking professional. I think that matters too. Maybe not a mark specifically. Maybe just having a nice word mark or something. But my point was simply just that. We're talking about a specific category. We're not talking about every single thing in the whole world.
Yeah.
And maybe another episode, Andy, you can tell us why it doesn't matter anywhere ever.
Well, but let me just push this even further, which is that I would say that the very fact that every company that is any kind of established company has a website right now, like that's a thing. You can't be a company of any size really with having a website. And that's the way that people can find out more information about you and, like, probably the way you're reaching the most people with whatever your thing is. Even if you're selling a, like, ridiculously popular product, you are probably getting more people that are going to the website somehow and looking at it than are actually, you know, experiencing the product. I think because of that, you can make a pretty good case that almost no company that is not pre-existing, that's starting tomorrow, really needs to spend time on a logo. I think most new companies, you could really make a pretty strong argument, just it's not important the way that it used to be. What is important is to have a pretty good landing page. Tonight's episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Make a pretty good landing page for your thing, because it's more important than a logo.
This has been On the Grid, episode 151. This week, I want you to go to our pretty good landing page. Go to idisagreewithandy.man.gold. We created it so you have an outlet to tell us why you disagree with Andy. I guess you could also use it to tell us why you agree. I don't know why you would do that, though. It's not called I agree with Andy.man.gold. The URL is actually I disagree with Andy.man.gold. Check it out. As always, thanks to Glassboy for the ad music, thanks to Girlfriends for the theme music, and finally, thanks to you for listening. Until next week.
You gotta leave it better than you found it. That's the only rule.
That's how you make money.
Well, see, you know, sometimes I think that I would like to do this for a job because it would be really fun to me to fix up houses. Like, I could become a house flipper, or I could become one of these people that, you know, you buy a building and then you rent it out and then you use the interest on your, or use the sort of capital of your first building to, you know, take out a loan for your second building, and you just keep on doing that forever. And then you fix all those buildings up. But the thing is, this thing I'm doing...
I know the fatal flaw. I know what's going to happen.
What's going to happen, Matt?
You're going to do every little detail, and the people are going to walk in, and they're going to be like, what? Sorry, I didn't pay attention. Is that granite countertops? It's not. We got to go.
No one's going to give a shit.
Hey, are these stainless steel appliances? Oh, I guess. Well, we should leave then.
You know I don't do stainless steel appliances, right? Have I talked to you about this?
I know you don't. That's why you're not going to sell a house on House Hunters, that's for sure.
Well, it's just that.
Does this have a boat dock?
Sorry,
that was my favorite. That was Island Hunters.
I would get really, really lucky if a single individual, a single possible buyer or possible renter or whatever came in and actually appreciated all that I had done. Mm-hmm. And if you just get one person, they got no one to get into a bidding war against. So they're going to be like, great, I appreciate this. And the next person's like, how many bathrooms? Whatever. Don't care. I'm leaving. And then they're just going to get it for no money. And then all my work is for naught.
Sounds like you're building a mousetrap for yourself.
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. I'll tell you in, I guess, 30 or 40 years when I have to sell this house. And
a younger Andy walks in and you've got him.
I do it for sale by owner, and someone walks in and then they are bored to death as I explain every little thing that I picked up very carefully and fixed, and I explain where I kept all the extras in case the manufacturer stops carrying that exact thing so you don't have to have one that doesn't match. That would be a thing.
You're like,
I'm too.
So glad you arrived. I've been practicing this 150 times for an hour a week.
My whole life has led up to this. You know I wouldn't practice. It's finally my moment. I'm not practicing. I'm taking that off the cuff.
Well, I'm glad you got nice outlet covers. It sounds great.